What's good, Waves and World? It's your boy, Five Star, in Vegas, broadcasting live, as always, from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada. And I'm in here with my guy, the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. What's good, Spreadster? How are you today?
Man, I wasn't being a Sacramento Kings fan the other night against Dallas. Hopefully, we bounce back on Friday night. But other than that, everything's been good. You and I were kind of lamenting how chalky the first weekend of March Madness was.
Yeah.
And the NBA's in that weird part of the season, and we're going to get into that in just a bit. But how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. Nice day outside. It's finally becoming cool weather out here, man. So the nippiness is gone. Daytime, we're getting up to about 70 degrees. So it's paradise right now because, you know, right around the corner is hell when it'll be too hot for you to come out here. That's why I can't ever see you do a summer league because you don't like to deal with that heat during that time.
But I'll be okay. I'll be okay.
I'll get out there. Yeah, you got to walk down the strip with your shirt off.
Yeah.
Get some rays, right?
Yeah, yeah, man. Got to.
How was your hike the other day?
Oh, man, it's been great. I've been doing it a lot lately. I'm trying to take advantage of it right now when I don't have to go early because there's no heat right now. So it's just beautiful. Good to get away a little bit, especially after some of the terrible beats we took, right? I mean, you watch these teams, they're like plus 12 and they're 4-point lead the whole game and they just fall apart the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, man, it's been a hard on guys who bet like we bet. We're more guys who kind of go against the public pretty much, you know, not all the time, but it just seems like when we run our numbers, most of the time we end up on the side with Vegas, and guys like us who bet in that manner really got slayed last week, man. It wasn't a good week. I was able to make up a little bit of something on Saturday and Sunday, but boy, Friday was rough, starting with Florida Atlantic. We'll get to that when we get into the past. Man, a lot going on in the world of sports right now, Spread, especially with our business around the world of sports betting. Some stuff that just came out with them trying to get the props, you know, the college props taken away. The NCAA is asking, people say Vegas, but it's not Vegas anymore, and that's the problem. The world of gambling to remove college football players' props from off of the sheets because they're saying that this is really all of a sudden, you know, messing up the game. It's, you know, going to make the game go bad. But we already saw this coming, right, Spread?
Yeah. I mean, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts about it being a college guy. I didn't actually have as much of an opinion about it. I'm pretty steadfast here on these pros, but I was wrong in the Jontay Porter situation, right? I always said the pros made too much money to risk it. And now with Jontay Porter out there, it shows that even if you are a pro-level talent, and I don't know what you've heard, but what I've heard is he could be looking at jail time.
Man, did you see this guy was shooting the ball off the backboard, trying to miss threes, and it was bouncing, and he's looking all sad that it went in because he's taking his unders. This is what everybody wants. Like they say, be careful what you wish for. And everybody wants sports betting to be available in their state. And as you know, they ended up passing the law 5 years ago. The Supreme Court ruled that, you know, everyone could take part of it. 33 states so far have taken a part of it, along as well as the District of Columbia in Washington, D.C. And who's really watching this stuff? I mean, they hired this company called U.S. Integrity. Their founders are a guy named Matt Hope. He claims that he can pinpoint you, Spread, from 3 foot radius wherever you're at when you're making a bet. So that's how they're catching these kids, because a lot of these kids are betting on the facilities and these athletes are betting on the facility. But that just shows really degeneracy if you can't wait till you leave the facility to bet, right? So that's a good thing that they catch them like that. But what about the other stuff? That's what we're having problems with, Spread. We're seeing that these games are more murky each and every game, and it's because you do not know who's betting or who has their hands in the pot somewhere, because it's so much access to betting now, and it's great. It just, to me, already we're seeing that this was a bad mistake. I'm still old school with it. A lot of people might say I'm being a hater by saying that. I did want Texas to get gambling because now everyone has, so now they should fall in line with everyone else. But for the whole entirety of gambling, I really liked it better when it was just Nevada, man. I really did, because you had a group of guys who really took the investigation part seriously. And all we want as bettors is a fair game. And now it's very hard to get a fair game spread. You got Jonte Porter that you just talked about. You got the five guys that were suspended in the NFL. One guy who was like had to get sent to counseling or something. The story with the kid who just came from LSU and went to New England and got busted. Now his career is over. He might go to jail too in Louisiana for betting on games that he was a part of. You got the 41 kids at Iowa and Iowa State that somehow this isn't a big story. And I don't know how. We've been talking about it for down here, what, a year and a half? But their starting quarterback at Iowa State got caught gambling on games. And for some reason, no one talks about it. But him and 40 other players were betting on themselves in Iowa. Just think about where you're at. You're in Iowa. It's a Midwestern town. They're not getting a lot of money. It makes sense. Not as much as the pros. But for sure, with these kids, with the pros, it's just greed, Fred. That's what it's basically boiling down to. And it's because we've made gambling the wild, wild west. You got all these corporations opening up all these books, and they're not doing anything to protect the integrity of the game. This one group, U.S. Integrity, is not enough, man. He said they're catching a lot of people, but I don't understand how they're catching them. You have these global systems that they have that can watch and track where you're betting, but they are not concentrating on watching these games. They need to get some professional bettors like ourselves and hire us to go watch the games for them and tell them about different little tendencies that we see from these players, spread and these referees, because the games aren't as fair bets like they used to be when Nevada was controlling it.
Yeah, and we'll see where it goes from here, because it feels like it's here to stay. And why not? Because these books have a profitable model, and we've complained about it for years. Now, you're a little luckier out there where they're willing to take your action, right? But people who were betting in other states, right, and they were betting through bookies, they would constantly do stuff like this, right?
Yeah.
They book the squares and they stiff the sharps.
Yep.
Right? Yep. And so right. When the other books are doing this too, like, for example, what's the biggest one in Canada? It's Bet365, right?
Yeah, Bet365.
They're famous for if you put $5-10K out, they just take away your account. So they're only booking the guys that put 10 team parlays in and things like that. So if you're booking like that and the regulators allow you to do that, it's going to be the most profitable business in America.
Well, how
because Vegas, there's no product, there's no right, there's no cost to run a website. So,
how was Vegas built? We know as guys that come from around the way, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Spread is from around the way. He's a very sharp sport guy, but he's from the hood. I don't know if you guys know that, but Spread knows some things, and me and him kind of really are similar with that. But we came up in some kind of rough environment around some rough guys, man, and what you learn dealing with those type of people growing up is that a lot of those people have better rules to life than the people when you move up in life. We started having money spread and moving into these other ranges. And the great thing about the old school Vegas was that it was gangsters and gentlemen and only bet sports. So it was going to be in that group either were gentlemen, and the gentlemen's all play by a set of rules that they follow. And you had gangsters, and you play by a set of rules. A lot of people, if you're not from that lifestyle and understand, I grew up around people who were on the other side of the fence. And all of those guys, one thing that I remember about them is they were very serious about their rules, about being respectful to others and, about themselves. So them and gentlemen are a lot alike. That's why betting was always a gentleman or a gangster's game. Nevada allowed people to come in town. You could bet all you want, but after you left town, you couldn't bet anymore. Now you got all these kids out here having fun playing around, and now they're tainting these games, even the prop bets. Look at this. Jason Tatum just was talking about he's playing a game, and he feels horrible when people are yelling at him, "Hey, man, you need to score another 10 points or I'm going to lose my parlay." Like, this isn't fair. This isn't correct betting, man. Before, when Vegas was doing this, none of this stuff existed, all of this crazy stuff where people can go to the game and yell at athletes about what they're doing. They're spreading. And then the guys who were betting at that time, it was only a certain group. You had people who did it for fun online, but we know the shadiness of online books, so people weren't spending a lot of money. It was more of a hobby. The guys who really bet came to Vegas, and you're never going to see a guy who's betting $10K on a game at the Dolphins and Jets game yelling from the stands, "Hey, you bum, I laid -7 on you." It's just not in the rules, man. It's not the way that you're supposed to. It makes the game shady, man. It puts a lot of pressure on these players. And now this gambling world is merging into their world. A lot of these kids are like Tatum, just square kids that just want to hoop, man, and play basketball. And I'm really afraid that somebody's going to do something to one of these athletes, man, because they already DMing them crazy stuff over betting, because these people are putting so much into it because now money's involved and they see this as the lottery and it's a way to change their life. Instead of a way like we do, that's just a way, it's a steady income, steady growth, steady investment. They're trying to change their life with it as a hustle, man. And I'm really afraid of where this is going, Spread.
And I think a lot of the problems is the way that a person like you or I would look to a young kid, right? Where they say, do I want to go work for UPS or do I want to be a gambler? I want to be a gambler. I want to watch sports with Five Star all day. They don't understand that it's more than a 40-hour-a-week job. I was trying to explain it to someone. I said, bro, at this point, I'm a glorified accountant. I'm just looking for little mathematical edges. Oh, they posted the line at 7. I think it's 9. Oh, you know what I'm saying? I just caught this injury news. There's a lot of research and a lot of study, and I think that they don't see it, right? It's just the old story, right? The overnight success. Well, yeah, but you took 10 years before they were an overnight, you know?
Right.
Nirvana, overnight success. Well, no, actually, they played clubs for 4 years until someone found them, right?
Right.
Things like that. So I think they see us on here and they think this is an easy way to make money. And I don't think they understand the grind that's involved. And not only is it mentally taxing, it's emotionally taxing too. Because as good as we are, we still have bad weekends. You have to find coping mechanisms. You can't get it all back, right? I mean, the sign of somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, who doesn't know when to cut their losses at the day, right? You and I, we set our bets at the beginning of the day. We say, we're on these plays. We don't go, oh, we're 0-3. Let's jump in on the 7 o'clock game, right? Exactly. We go, okay, we're 0-3, but we didn't have a play on that 7 o'clock game anyways. We're just going to watch it and get ready for tomorrow. And you combine the fact that they don't understand the work that they're taking, and then they don't understand to not chase their losses and only play their established edges, right? For example, you might have scouted a team that plays at 4 o'clock, but you didn't scout the 7 o'clock team because you can't watch every game.
Right.
So it's just so tough for all these kids that are coming up and not really, they just see all the easiness, right? But they don't see
the easy part. They see the lifestyle, but we've been doing this for over 20 years, Fred. That's what they don't get. And we caught the sweet part. We didn't used to have to be, my wife hates sports betting now because I'm in front of the phone from the moment I get up at 6 in the morning to 11 at night now. Yeah. Even when I'm talking to her and dinner, I'm having to check things because, as you said, our job doesn't end. We have to watch the market. We have to watch where the money's going. We have to also do our research as far as in what's the stats, what's going on between these guys, what kind of numbers are they putting up against each other. And now with the way that analytics has went to a whole nother new level, it's just more and more and more research, right? And it's harder to beat the books now with the access of gambling. There's so many different variations going in. Before, we could just walk in the book spread and say, okay, give me the Niners by the 7. Give me the Cowboys. Yeah. You could just call it off the board and put down your money and make a bag and walk out. Completely changed up now. And as you was talking about the psychology thing, you guys have to understand this is a vice. It plays with your dopamines. It has dopamines. It's going to make you feel great, feel wonderful, feel on top of the world. You have to balance and understand that this is an investment that you're doing. This isn't a get rich quick overnight. We put in the work to get to where we are. This is the only business that can drive you mad, man. It's the only place in the world where on the regular 0.001 beats 99.9. Yeah. On the regular. It's the only one where you'll have a team, like for instance, yesterday, I had second half. It was Seattle. High Point has some really good guards. High Points came back, took the lead in the second half. I have 6.5 points, right, Spread? With 1 minute left, the guy shoots, the High Point goes ahead, one with a three-pointer. Seattle comes down, the clock almost runs out. A big guy launches the luckiest three ever, right? As the clock's running out from good defense. Nails the three, so now Seattle's up two with about 50 seconds left. During the play, one of the Seattle guys tries to get a rebound and his arm gets entangled with a High Point player. The High Point player snatches him a little bit. They both fall down, but it looks a little worse because the Seattle guy kind of falls on the bottom. Mind you, the kid who he's wrestling with is like 5'11", but he's the best player on High Point. the refs go to the monitor after they go up to it 50 seconds. Hey, break. Let's go to the monitor. They go to the monitor spread and they come back and say that the kid hooked them, and they give Seattle 2 free throws and the ball. So now your 6.5 is in jeopardy.
Right.
Do you know that High Point didn't score the rest of the game? Their best player got out. He was put out of the game. Now, if you would have pulled up what the percentages were at 50 seconds down 2 with the ball, it was 99% that you're going to cover. Yeah. Right? We have the different algorithms to show this. But, man, this is a real game, and you guys don't allow them to take you fast, man. Don't allow you to take you fast. You can get caught up in this betting world. Make sure that the waging world is an investment, man, and not your whole entire life, man. Do not get caught up. There's a lot of shady stuff going on right now with betting, man. Hey, what about little football rule changes? Why don't you break down to the people what's the new rule change on the kickoff spread?
All right, yeah, the kickoff now, it's actually been taken from the XFL. And you know what's so funny is I do enjoy a little WWE and a little wrestling. And I was going back and I was listening to some old podcast about when the XFL originally started way back in 2000. And it's kind of fun for me to listen, you know, their previews back then. And so much of the stuff that they added, the XFL, the NFL picked up on. Really? For example, the in-game interviews. You remember we used to never have that? The XFL was the one who started that.
I still
hate
it.
I hate them too, but I'm just saying.
Canadian football does it too, and they got it from the XFL as well. I hate it.
So they've taken another one now where the kicker will be way back where he started, but the players are only going to be 10 yards apart. I'm not exactly sure how this is going to affect things, but my initial thoughts here, we could see more kickoff returns. You should be able to run more football-style plays. And there's also, I think there's going to be incentive for players to use guys like Tyreek Hill, Deebo Samuel, because there'll be a less chance of injury and more chance of a big play, because you're not going to have, you know, the 250-pound linebacker getting 50 yards worth of momentum before the impact. So, the kickoff rule, I think it's cool. I want to see how it turns out, and I want to hear your thoughts on that. But I also got to throw in, because we just talked about gambling, that hip drop tackle to me is going to really upset the gambling world a lot, because I don't think it's going to be able to be evenly enforced. The same way these pass interference and some of these defensive holding calls, right? And, I mean, the first team that comes to the mind is the Chiefs, right? Because for whatever reason, they always seem to be the beneficiaries of these, you know, timely defensive holding or roughing the passer. You go back to Brady. I remember a lot of people complaining when Brady would seem to get, you know, these roughing the passer calls that weren't there. And I don't like the hip drop tackle rule, because I feel that it's going to be impossible to be enforced evenly. So when people have money on these outcomes, and even if it's random, even if there's nothing shady going on, there's still going to be the view of that. Because if I lose a bunch of money because of this, you know, shady hip drop tackle, how is it going to be? So I like the kickoff rule, and I'm not really, not that I think the hip drop tackle is a bad rule, but I think it's going to be impossible to enforce, and I think it's going to make things worse. What do you think?
I hate to sound like the old man, get off my lawn guy, but I've been talking about that kid for about 2 years now. I saw it take out Mark Andrews, and we had a lot of money on these gamblers. We're watching the different, man. We're watching the game a lot different than the regular individual. I had like about a grand on him to have over 4.5 catches, and it was the big Monday night game that they had. It was a standalone game, and if you remember, that he got hurt that game off of that same tackle. And I've been talking about the tackle before, that Tony Pollard also was injured in that manner. I called it the cow rustler tackle, kind of like how, when you know, you ever went to the rodeo, when the guys do the cow, they get the little baby calf wrestler, excuse me, and tied up. That's kind of how they do. They grab and they drag. The defenders know what they're doing, spread on that. That's a pretty known thing amongst defenses, that, you know, you can hurt somebody, and that's a way to kind of make a statement, is to hold them and then you jerk and pull them down by the lower extremities. I'm glad they got rid of the rule. it's a big enough strike point. Don't get me wrong. We know that the NFL supposed is not about defense, but we had the lowest scoring season in the NFL history this past year. You know, in the last, 20 years or something like that. I don't know about history, but the last at least 20 years. We see in the playoffs every year. What's the total, Greg? They're always 45. So the defense is doing okay. They'll be all right. They'll figure out how to just make a normal tackle. You can get a guy by his legs and get him down. It's a huge strike zone. Just don't drop your head. Leave your head up. You got a large area from the chest area on down, man. And then when you get to the legs, just do a nice form tackle, man. The problem is they were hurting guys with this purposely, man, in my opinion. The more dirty players. Not everyone. Sometimes it's just if you got a smaller guy and he's just trying to fight for his life on Derrick Henry, what can he do? You know, he's going to just try to put his weight down. But some of these guys, like Patrick Queen and stuff, those guys use that tackle as an intimidation method. So I definitely am glad that it's gone. I don't want to see anyone get hurt. These guys get paid for their lower legs, man.
Yeah, but that was the old thing, too, that players said they, as much as they tried to protect the head, they said a concussion doesn't ruin my career. They're not thinking long-term, right? But they're thinking that knee injury, this could be the last year, and I don't. Now
it changed everything for Tony Pollard. Think about it. Spread Tony Pollard, he went from, he probably lost a lot of money. Now the Cowboys are letting him go out in free agency. Remember, he was the bell cow until that happened. So he's having a phenomenal year. So, yeah, I'm glad that rule is gone. And as far as in the XFL, it's going to look crazy when they line up and do it, because, you know, I bet a lot of XFL. I can't wait to bet some this weekend, actually. I might need to give some out. I need to go look and see. I think the two champions are playing each other. I'll be on Birmingham because Skip Holtz has really built something nice over there in Birmingham with that team. That year in and year out really good. And I think they're playing Arlington Renegades. And if I'm not mistaken, they still are coached by Bob Stoops, and if so, I'm still going to be on Birmingham. I think Birmingham is a really talented team. But as far as the kickoff, I'm not looking forward to seeing it. I'm old school. Like I said, I'm about to get off the law and stuff today, man. I guess I'm getting a little old and stuff today, but I'm not looking forward to them changing up the kickoff. And it gave us a lot of advantages on betting, too, with these kickers who know how to, you know, get touchbacks. You can really win a lot of money on the unders on kickoff return yardage, and that one hurts. So that's going to change. The strategy is going to change. It's pretty much going to be a where they can make it into almost an offensive play. I'm sure that these great minds in the NFL are going to come up with something that's going to take advantage of that. But now, man, we talked a lot about the gridiron. We talked about the gambling. Everybody wants to know about basketball. We're heading to March Madness. Before we go there, Rockets are the best team in the NBA the last 10 games, man. What do you think about the young Rockets, man? We kind of saw this coming, right?
Yeah, I talked about this with Tyler on the NBA rundown, because in the draft the year the Rockets drafted Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün, I was a big fan of Şengün. He was a big fan of Jalen Green. They ended up on the same team. We thought it was cool. And then it felt like at the beginning of this year that Şengün had kind of emerged as the premier player on the Rockets. But what I think that we're seeing here, and I think as a Kings fan, it's easy for me to see this, is that Şengün is going to be a baby Domantas Sabonis, where he's going to be great on offense. He facilitates as well. It's not just scoring. He's a great passer. But I worry, because you can't have a defensive deficiency as a big man. However, you can as a guard. There's plenty of teams that have won championships with guards that can't defend. It's really hard to win a championship with a defensive liability in the middle. So I worry about Şengün and Sabonis as well, their ceiling. Now we're watching Jalen Green emerge, and without Şengün out there, he's got a little more space because Şengün likes to play down low. They can play the five out offense, and it's really accelerating his skill set. So while I love Şengün as a player, I think that they're going to have to make a decision. And I think that this kind of illustrates to them, we got to build around Jalen. We need to be athletic, but we need to protect the rim on defense. And as good as Şengün is on offense, right, you're going to be like the Kings right now. You're going to be capped at about the second round if you have a big man, no matter how good he is. Because people talk about Jokic's defense, but it's gotten a lot better. It's not like it was 3 years ago. And that was one of the difference. For him to just become a below average defender to average was one of the big reasons he became the championship. Now, can Şengün do that? maybe, but he's not nearly as big. I think that this recent streak has shown we got to dive into the athleticism, dive into the defensive end of the ball. It's much easier to hide a defensive deficiency on the wing because there's plenty of players like that, right? Even Steph, yeah. Right? I love Steph. Yeah. He's yeah. never, at most, he's been an average defender. And no one talked about that when they were, because they have the other guys to make up for it. So, to me, I'm excited about the Rockets. I like Jalen Green a lot as a player. I've always liked Udoka as a coach. And I think this shows this is the guy we got to build around. What are you expecting from this team?
Hey, we've been on this before this all went down. Sengun is an excellent player. You actually put me on Sengun because I didn't even know too much about him because the Euro League that I watched, he wasn't in that league. He played in the National League, the Turkish League. So I didn't really see him much. You hit it on the nail when you said Sabonis. That's pretty much who he is. Sabonis, they give him a little baby joker. He's dominant, but he's a ball stopper. In the new age of basketball, that's ball stopping. Even though it looks good, he's great at passing. He can hit the cutters. He still has to get time to get into this move. And now you got all these great players just standing around him, you know, and they're just looking at what, and it's slowing down the Rockets. He does give effort on defense, but his size is going to always hurt him. He's not big as Jokic, you know, so he's like Sabonis. He's undersized. He's going to get pounded by the big centers who really offensive rebound well. So Sengun is in a precarious situation, man. I always saw him as a sixth man. I got roasted by people on Rockets Twitter last year when I was saying, hey, we need to make Sengun a sixth man, make him like a Scola type of guy. He should not start. I've been saying that all in the beginning of the year. Well, are you crazy? Sengun has to start. But it's more the fans and his game that makes it so, but he doesn't fit that lineup. He would fit better if they're going to keep him as a sixth man who gets his minutes at the end of the quarter and the beginning of the quarters, and they grow through him and dominate when Jalen's getting a breath. But they really can't do that because now you got Cam that's going to miss minutes. Because, see, the great thing about the Rockets, I was blessed, man. Every guy that I wanted for them spread, think about in the last 2 years, every person I said I wanted them to draft, they got. I wanted Jalen Green, they got him. I wanted Jabari Smith, they got him. I wanted Cam, they got him. And then is just a blessing on top of all of that, man.
Don't forget your guy, Tari Eason.
Tari Eason.
We haven't seen him play lately, but that's still, he's going to be.
We were talking about him earlier. Yeah. Remember, we were talking about him before the draft, that if they can get him. They have the best foundation probably in basketball, man. I think it's going to be them and the Thunder for years going at it in the West soon. And the way that Coach Udoka coaches, it's better for what he's doing. He's making our man Thompson and Jalen Tatum and Brown, the young version. Think about it. That's what he's doing. We didn't see our man Thompson even as the position he's using. This is the brilliance of Coach Udoka. He put him at the dunk position spread. He's been fabulous there. He's been fabulous. This kid is a point guard. He's played it his whole life. He can see the whole field. He can score. He can handle the ball. When he comes across the lane, it gives the defenses so much trouble because, one, he's catching right there, and he can go right up and score with a little short 10-footer. He can put the ball on the ground and fake you and get to the rim and get an and-one or dunk. Or he can find a shooter. And so now they have to back in. When he catches it at that free throw line, he's so much problem on the defense because he's one of the few guys that plays that dunk position that can actually dribble. He can dribble between the whole team. And now you had all types of trouble right in the middle of your defense, and Jaden's just sitting out there ready to hit a walk-off three-pointer, and turns back and run down the other side because he's probably shooting the ball better than anyone in the NBA right now. They have a great problem, but what this has exposed to me is what I always knew. Sengun is either going to have to come off the bench or get traded because the style that Coach Udoka coaches and wants to play is the new NBA. It's small ball and guys that can play off the switch. And since they moved Jabari to the new natural position that he should play, center, because he's the new age center. He's 6'10". He can bow up with a strong guy. He can hold a wing if he gets switched to him. He can shoot the three and he stretches and leaves where now you got paint action for our men and for Jalen. It's just a great formula they have, and they're going to have to stick with that. And I think that's also why they went and got Steven Adams spread. I think that Udoka already sees where this was going, that, you know, Steven Adams in the role of what Jock Landale is already doing, just imagine that. Like, come on, man. They got a nice team. Sengun's going to have to take a step back or he's going to get traded.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him traded because I think he would fit better on some other teams, right? Maybe, you know, next to Victor or someone that can hide. hiding.
They're not going to send him that close, definitely.
But you understand my point. It's just not a good fit there anymore.
We won't see him on the West again. If he leaves the Rockets, he's going far, far east. Guaranteed.
They'll probably banish him to Charlotte.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, boy.
All right. Let's dive right in, though. I think some people want the picks, but we got to go over the past real quick. First one on the agenda is FAU versus Northwestern. What happened there?
Oh, they broke my heart, man. I had no intel that Dusty May was already linked with Michigan and already had his deal done. It's obvious that team did. It's obvious that those guys in that locker room did, and they did not play like the Owls that I expected. With them such a veteran team, went so deep in the tournament last year, I thought that all year they'd be playing strictly to get to this point. But they really just put up a dud. Should have won it. We just talked about the 99.9%. Fred, I had FAU -3 for a grand, right? They finally take the lead after fighting so hard. They're down like 10 points with 3 minutes left. Come back, take the lead to 2. They take a 2-point lead. Get the ball and get to the free throw line. And at the free throw line, the big center, Golden, misses the front end of a 1-1 with 5 seconds left. If he drains both of those, now Northwestern goes to the other end, fires up a dumb 3, rebound, maybe foul, maybe not. Game over, we cover, we win. Instead, Northwestern drives down after the miss on the front end, gets a layup, go to overtime. Florida Atlantic's dead. They lose by 12 in overtime. So, heartbreaking one on that one, guys. I was heavy on FAU, and I expected a lot more from that team.
Grambling was +5 against Montana State. What did you see in that game?
+180, and we got +450 live with the Supreme clientele. I'm really proud of that team. They made the SWAC proud. The alumni, hey, man, they overcame a lot. They were down 9 points at the half. They showed to what shooting does. They have 4 left-hand snipers, and all of those guys can dribble, drive, and shoot, and they really did their thing, and they represented well for historically black basketball, man, at those universities. I wish that Grambling could play Norfolk State. That would be a great game. Norfolk State just won the CBI last night. I had some money on them, and they came through for me coming back from 10 down. I'd love to see them play Grambling in a national black college basketball championship game. That would be so cool because, you know, to them, it's their championships winning their conference tournament and getting to the big dance. Grambling gave Purdue problems in the first half, too, man, and they would have covered. Did you see how they lost 99.9%? Once again, loses to 0.001%. Purdue is up 25 points with 30 seconds left in the ball. As you know, the shot clock is only 30 seconds in the NCAA. So you think they dribble it out, right? Tell me these kids aren't betting. The spread's 27.5. Some kid off the bench who never gets any run jacks a 3 unnecessarily. Bam, 28 points.
Yeah. Let's move to this one. You can see their faces too. There's a famous one with Jordan Poole where I can't remember. They were -12 and they lost the backdoor cover, and in the face, he looked like he lost a lot of money, you know.
Yeah,
because why would he care, right? Was it between winning by 12 and winning by 9?
You're not even supposed to know the spread if you're playing sports, man. If I was the coach, if you know the spread, you're off my team. You should know the spread, man.
Like, they probably know the line movement.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing?
All right, -9 versus Texas. What'd you see in that one?
Texas A&M. That's my bad. I sent it to you. Like
that's
this.
All right.
Sorry about that. Yeah, A&M. Hey guys, you already know what it was. Great game. Houston with a very, very shady ending by the refs. They call it a jump ball, and the guy for the Aggies didn't even have a ball in his hand, and it ended up extending the game. A&M all of a sudden started making threes at the end. The game went to overtime, but it was really never close. University of Houston dominated the game. They actually should have covered. And then I started talking on X to my guy Dre on 290. Shout out Dre, man. He has a trucking cub. Dre kind of jinxed me. He started talking about, hey, what's the line? I was like, -9. As soon as I said that they went from being up 11 points to overtime. So be quiet when during the game. I know that. You know, that's one of the rules I follow. But great win by the Cougars. I think that them surviving this is going to prepare them really well for Duke.
All right, let's dive into a couple others. These are future bets. Illinois looking pretty good so far. We got them to win the East at +700. What have you seen from Illinois so far?
They have to survive tonight. A little short number that they're fighting. The books think pretty highly of Iowa State this season, and they play really well. They beat Houston, but I think the Illinois machine went a good position with them. Get a chance to maybe catch a hedge if they can play UConn next game and get a lead early. They do have to get through the Giants of the East, and that's the UConn Huskies, the defending national champions. But I still like the value we got at 7-1.
Creighton at plus 400 to win the Midwest. What have you seen from Creighton so far?
That one's looking good. Spread's looking real good. Probably have to. Tomorrow they have Tennessee. We know Rick Barnes has not been good. Excuse me. Rick Barnes has not been good in tournaments. So we got Tennessee tomorrow. If they get through Tennessee, then the Midwest Elite Eight. It'll be Purdue or Gonzaga. So we're in a good spot at plus 400. Once again, we do these for the value and try to get in a position where we can hedge.
Arizona, plus 195 to win the West. What are you thinking about the Wildcats?
Looking good. Arizona has Clemson, who's overplayed their seeding so far. Arizona gets through them, and it'll probably be a matchup with North Carolina coming up. Right now, they're like minus 140 to win the West, so we're looking good for plus 195.
All right, we have two to win the South. One of them is Houston, plus 130.
Love the Cougs, man. I'll break down why I like them against Duke a little bit later. The Cougs coming out the South, we got plus 130 right now. I think they're at minus 300, so we got a real win with that one. And then on the other side, we got NC State. If NC State can get past Marquette, oh, man, we're in a great position because I had NC State plus 1,300. They were my dark horse. I love DJ Byrne. He could play, man. He's a really good player. Also, DJ Horn's a really good player. And you guys know what I think of Kevin Keats as a coach. So we're in a good position with NC State at plus 1,300. Let's hope that they face our Cougs at plus 130. We can sit back.
All right. Let's get into tonight. Arizona minus 7.5 versus Clemson is first. You break this down. I'm going to be right back.
Okay. So, guys, we're rolling with Arizona. Simple as that. Arizona's an offensive machine. They average 88 points per game. I think that Clemson reached its peak last week with them with the upset victory that they had. I just don't see Clemson playing back-to-back as good as they played against Baylor and New Mexico. They've really been playing well. Really good team, but Caleb Love is not going to let Arizona lose. One of the best coaches you want to find is Tommy Lloyd for Arizona. They just got weapons, man. They can beat you in every type of manner. Boswell had an off game last game, so I expect him to have a much better game. He didn't even score last game, and they still rolled. But I think that he'll have a much better game. You always got the foreign guys. They got over there with Big Fellow down low and the kid that they have playing on the wing, the left-handed kid, Pella. So, as usual, man, I just think that Arizona's too good, man. I'll be laying the 7 points. Ring the bell.
All right. Arizona laying 7.5 to Clemson. Next up, a little bigger spread, but this team has looked excellent. UConn laying 11.5 to San Diego State. How do you see this one turning out?
San Diego State just doesn't have the guns to keep up with UConn. UConn seems to be on a mission. I'll probably wait and try to steal a good number. Hopefully San Diego State comes up fired up after losing in the national championship to UConn last year, and I can maybe catch UConn at maybe a 7.5 or something like that. I'll play it live. I won't be playing this big of a number out the door, even though I think they would cover it. I think that they can cover it. I definitely lean them covering. I will not be on San Diego State. But what I love in this game would be Tristan Newton going over 14.5 points. That's the star point guard for UConn. He can really play. Consistent All-American, best player on that team. He hit the Aztecs up for 19 points last year in the national championship game. He's going to have some really good matchups because Tramiel, who's the point guard for San Diego State, he's a short kid. He's like 5'10". And then Butler, who's the shooting guard, is like 6'2". He's going to be killing those switches. Overall, San Diego State is going to have a lot of problems with size. They do have a really good player named Ladie. That's from Houston. That kid can go. He kind of reminds you of Kyrie Leonard when he was at San Diego State. Kind of stiff with it, you know, but he's really strong and he can really shoot the ball really well from three and from the free throw line. He's going to be a better NBA player than a college player. I like him to go over 7.5 rebounds because he has to get boards for them, but I also worry about that one because I'm afraid he might get in foul trouble early since he's basically their big man this year, and he's going to have to deal with Big Clean again, who's 7'2" and always rolling to the basket, getting people in foul trouble. So I lean over 7.5 rebounds for the day for San Diego State, but my play will be Tristan Newton going over 14.5 points for UConn. Ring the alarm.
All right, there we go. Let's talk about Alabama, who takes on North Carolina. North Carolina laying 4.5. How do you see this one?
This was going to be a shootout, man. That 173 might actually get there. Both these teams like to play up tempo. Alabama averages the most points in the country, man. They average more points than Arizona. I think they're at 89 points or something. Man, that's ridiculous in college. Great players over there, great shooters. And what's funny, remember you asked me about Alabama before this tournament. You had a feeling about it. I don't know how. You must have ran some numbers or something, Fred. You must have put them through your little number machine or your time machine, and it spit out that they were going to play better because they suck at the end of the season. They are hitting their stride at the right time, and, man, they can upset North Carolina, man. I'll be staying away from this one because that number is telling me that the books are thinking more about Alabama than people are, you know. So we got a really good coach over there. I like Sears. He's a really good player. I think he's at 21.5 on some books at -130. So look for Mark Sears to go over 21.5 points for Alabama. He can really fill it up. RJ Davis is always a look for North Carolina. I think he's at 22.5. They got some really good guards, but I won't have a play on this game. I'm going to sit back and enjoy it. It's going to be a shootout. Lean the over on the points on both Sears and on RJ Davis.
All right, we already got somewhat of an investment on this one, but are we going to double down here when Illinois is catching 1.5 against Iowa State?
Definitely. I'm all on Illinois. I'm not backing off the line now until I, you know, you see something different. Terrence Shannon is the best player in the country right now. I think he's imposing his will on teams. He has a great supporting class over there to help him out. Great coach. Once again, like I said, I have so much respect for Brad Underwood. I know what kind of guy he is. I know what type of disciplinarian he is. I know what type of X and O guy he is. And I think he's going to bring his best. Iowa State, really good team. They stole my guy Gilbert from UNLV. The coach took him from here. He was actually coaching at UNLV and Osterberg. And they took him to Iowa State. And he took the best player, Keyshawn Gilbert, over there with him. They have him and Lipton, who's born and raised in Ames, Iowa. Born to be an Iowa State player. They're a really good backcourt, but I don't think they can keep up with Shannon and Domas. I think that as the game goes on, the Illinois just continues to mash and you know, put their will on these guys. So give me Illinois money line plus 105. I also will be playing Terrence Shannon to go over 21.5 points. He's been a scoring machine since he's came back from the allegations that he's facing in Kansas. He's averaged 27 points per game the last 14 games. In the time he's averaged 30, this kid is a scoring machine. He gets a lot of easy buckets by getting off in the transition. I know Iowa State gets back and is going to try to make him play half court ball. So this guy might go under. Might be a lot less scoring than people think. But I still think Terrence Shannon is able to get to 22. So give me Terrence Shannon.
We'll see how much longer these college player props are available.
Right.
Our earlier conversation. Yeah, right. Enjoy this while we last. Let's move on to tomorrow night's action. It's funny, the NBA didn't want anything to do with the NCAAs tonight, and I thought they were going to lay off, and then I looked and there's a 12-game schedule tomorrow. So all eyes on the NCAAs tonight, and then the NBA tries to bounce back here. Boy, if we had more time, I'd talk about the NFL being on Christmas too, but we'll do that a different episode. Let's jump into tomorrow with NC State catching 6.5 versus Marquette. Marquette's looked pretty good so far. How do you see this one going down?
I just was on ESPN 97.5 with those guys talking about this game. This one is going to be good. You know, I already have a ticket on NC State at plus 1,300, and these are two of my favorite coaches going against each other. And Shaka Smart and Kevin Keats. I really respect both of those guys. I think that they are two of the best coaches in the country, man, and they have some really good teams. This is going to be a very interesting matchup. Can DJ Burns do what he's been able to do since the ACC tournament, and that's control the game by NC State playing inside out with him? I know that Marquette has a really tall center in number 13, Okudara, I think is how you say his name. He can play has a little push shot that he does that gives people problems. But I really love the guards for both teams, man. You got a pretty kid that transferred over from Stanford, running things for NC State. He saved their season with a miracle shot against Virginia in the AC season. Then after that, they ran through North Carolina. You got and DJ Horn. He can really play. That's the shooting guard over there. They got a nice team. And then you look across the court at over there, what they got in Marquette, maybe the best backcourt in college basketball, right up there with Houston's backcourt of Cry and Shed. And those guys, man, they can really just fill it up, man. Simple as that. It's like no getting around it. Cam Jones is a playmaker. Kolick is a playmaker. Both of them are interchangeable because they're both combo guards. They can play on the ball, off the ball. Cam Jones had an off game last game. He's adjusting to getting back off the ball and getting back on the wing. But those dudes just know how to hoop, man. Simple as that. They know how to get easy baskets. They know how to get to the rack and put pressure on the defense. I'm going to sit back and just watch this one and really enjoy a really good game. But remember, we do have plus 1,300 on NC State. So I'll be slightly rooting for them. But if they lose to Marquette, I will not be mad. But I would much rather the Houston Cougars play NC State. And they can talk about all of the history between those two teams with Jim Valvano and Five Slammer Jam and all of that and the upset back in the game instead of playing Marquette, because Marquette will match up with Houston really well.
All right. Well, as I'm placing these bets as you're talking, I did too much and my computer froze up. So we're not going to have the banner here. But the next game on the schedule here is Gonzaga versus Purdue. I probably should have just waited till the end. You know, sometimes I can't wait. I just want to get these plays down.
You got to get that money, baby.
Otherwise, I forget and I have to call you and ask you. So I figure I'll do it while we're talking. But the next one on the thing is Gonzaga. They're plus 5.5 versus Purdue. I'm going to be rooting for Gonzaga. Should I place a wager? And how do you see this one going down? Purdue's looked pretty good so far.
Purdue has looked good, but you know I'm not a big Purdue guy. I think they're a little overrated, and I think Gonzaga has the type of team that can give Edie some issues. Gonzaga has played a really tough schedule. They played a lot of really good teams this year. Went and beat Kentucky, just beat Kansas. Even though Kansas was shorthanded, it didn't matter. And they've been rolling, man. Gonzaga hasn't had any close games since they were embarrassed in the Western Conference Championship, man, out here in Vegas and lost to St. Mary's. I really think that Gonzaga can get this one done, maybe even money line, but I for sure will be taking a 5.5. I think the Gonzaga's a really talented team. And outside of Edie, Purdue isn't as talented as people think. I think that they got a lot of guys who are they're just good pieces. I don't think that if Edie's out of the game, they could carry the team. So they all could play well off of Edie West, and Gonzaga has some real playmakers over there and guys that can go. We see how Ike matches up with Edie. He's a strong kid, transfer from Arizona State. He might can make Edie work on the defensive side of the ball where he can't just roam like he's used to. But I trust Mark Few in these moments. Mark Few has been there, has a really excellent record in Sweet 16. So I'm going to be with Gonzaga on this one, plus 5.5. Ring the bell.
As a West Coast guy, I love to hear that. The next one on the docket, five-star, the Blue Blood versus the New Blood. Duke, yep, catching 4 points against Houston. Boy, Houston's the favorite. How do you see this one going down?
I love that everybody in the public is going to be on Duke, because Duke looked so good against James Madison. They put up so many points, but this is James Madison. People are forgetting that. McCain is a hell of a player at guard for Duke, and Tyrese Proctor. But this is what we got going on right here. We got men against boys. We got grown-ups against kids that paint their fingernails in this one. So we're going with Houston, man. We're going with the Cougs to be able to just man up on these guys and just just put their will on them. A great thing going for the Cougars, a great angle for me, is that they did not look good at the end of the last game against A&M. That gives Kelvin Sampson something to teach. He loves teaching. He has these guys prepared. And I think that they're going to run through Duke, in my opinion. I think we see the type of situation we saw with Kentucky, where the young boys aren't used to this type of pressure from grown men. And I think that the backcourt for Duke can't shoot as good as he shot last game. Like, you don't want to go into a game so hot. You know what I mean? You know that spread is some of the best basketball. When the team shoots lights out, I think they shot like over 50% from three-point line against James Madison, and they scored 100 points. They're not going to do that against Houston. That's going to have Houston really focused. I'll be all over the Houston Cougars money line for about 7 or 8 units, and I'll be laying the 4.5 probably for another 5 units. So give me the Houston Cougars -4. Ring the alarm.
Yeah, and if you like Houston, I was placing these bets. I'm not rushing for that one. I think you're right. Duke's going to probably take some money. I see them down to +4 offshore. I wouldn't be surprised if you can get a 3.5 on this one tomorrow. I think I know the answer to this one, but our last game is Creighton taking on Tennessee. Tennessee is -3 here. Are we going to continue to double down with Creighton?
We're doubling down. I'm going with Creighton money line on this one. Creighton is a really, really, really tough team, man. They're hard to beat. They play really well in the most important parts of the game because they have so many clutch performers. Baylor Shireman is a hell of a player, man. One of the unsung heroes of that team. And then you have Trey Alexander. He's the guy who closes things for them. And they got Kalkenberg, who can step out, shoot the 3 at 7-3, go in the post. Really fluent player for his size. Much more athletic than Edie is at that height. And they're 8-2 in their last 10, but most of all, they're 8-2 against the spread in their last 10, man. That's phenomenal. I just like everything about Creighton. Tennessee is a veteran team. A lot of talent on that team, but the problem that I think Tennessee is going to have is the same thing that they have every year, and that's their coach, man. Their coach does not have a good record in Sweet 16s. He always seems to underachieve, whether when he was with Texas or now out there in Tennessee. So we'll see if Coach Barnes can get some things together, because he's usually comes up short in these Sweet 16 matchups. So I'll be on Creighton +3. Ring the bell.
Here we go with Creighton. Finally, Ball and Parlay. What is your favorite pick for the weekend?
I have so many that I like the most, man. I think that the one that I'm going to roll with is my Houston Cougs, though. Let's go with Houston -4, man. I just think that this is the perfect storm for us as a sports better spread. We got Duke coming off phenomenal performance where they're feeling themselves. They're young kids, so they're hyped. Like, we're going to beat Houston, man. This is, man, you saw what we did last week. They're feeling so great. And then you got the number one team in the country, who's coming in a little ticked off, allowed A&M to stick in the game. They didn't get the cover. And more importantly, the game went to overtime, so they almost lost their college careers. Shedd, Jawan Roberts, these guys are seniors, man. This is their last shot at it. And I don't think that Kelvin Sampson, with his great pedigree in March, is going to let Duke get the offensive showing that they had last time. He's going to have something drawn up. He's had a whole week to prepare for those guys. I'm going to always put my money on Kelvin Sampson in the Sweet 16. And like I said, you got youth against grown men. We've seen that youth has problems with grown men, like the Kentucky and Oakland game. I think that the diaper dandies at Duke have a horrible performance. I don't think they look anything like they looked the other game against James Madison. I think that their season ends, and I think that the Cougars get it done by double digits. I think that they dominate them and they shut them down on defense. Let's go with the Houston Cougars -4.
All right, let's add to that. I'm going to go off a play that you were talking about, but it's my favorite one on the board. I'm surprised Illinois is the underdog here. I think they should be favorite. I think this line should be flipped. I understand going through zero, that's not much of a move. But regardless, we talked about how small these edges have become as gambling's become legalized and these books have more and more access to information. It's a small edge, but they made a mistake here. Give me the Illinois money line. I think they defeat Iowa State.
You heard it there. You're on the same side on that one. So Brett says Illinois money line. I'm going with the Cougars at -4. I think that's actually going to be the national championship spread. I like it being Houston versus Illinois to win for it all over in Phoenix. I hope I get a chance to tiptoe over there. We appreciate you guys for tuning in to the Wagering World. Me and Spread will be back next week. We'll see if we can wake Sino up. You know, he's a kid. He's running around with those monkeys, Spread.
Yeah.
So, Ain't no telling what he's doing for spring break, but hopefully we have Steno back with us next week as well, man. As always, this show is dedicated to my father, the greatest Houston sports fan I know, John H. Lindsay. I do this for you, Dad. This is episode 24 of the new version that we've been doing since the radio, but me and Spread are about 100 episodes in, man. We've been going a long time, man, and we're going to continue to keep going and giving you guys just winners. Anything for the people, Spread, before we get out of here?
No, man, I'm excited to catch these March Madness winners, and I know you're going to tread lightly to start, but baseball season's starting. I'm going to be wading into those waters, too. So, you know, it's a great time to be a gambler, even with the cloud surrounding our industry right now. We're going to make the best of it.
Hey, man, you can never complain when you get paid for doing what we do, and that's watching sports. The only thing is, guys, always remember this. Never let something that you enjoy become a vice. Hey, guys, this is The Wager World. We'll talk to you guys soon. Best of luck to y'all.